This week's episode is made possible by our friends at Independent Bank. You can learn more about them at i-bankonline.com.
Good morning, Memphis. You're listening to Meanwhile in Memphis on WYXR Radio 91.7 FM. Meanwhile in Memphis is a program dedicated to conversations that celebrate the organizations, initiatives, and people that are shaping Memphis for the better. The Meanwhile in Memphis radio show and podcast are brought to you by New Memphis, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to develop, activate, and retain the city's most important resource, its people. Your hosts today are me, Rebecca Hamm, and my colleague, Anna Thompson.
Good morning, Memphis. Today we are learning more about the therapeutic connection between animals and humans. With animals, dogs in particular, being incorporated into hospitals, jails, counseling offices, and more, we are taking a closer look at how man's best friend is providing purpose, confidence, and joy.
Joining us today are Ellen Zahariadis, Executive Director of the Humane Society of Memphis and Shelby County, and Dominique Winfrey McKinney, who is the Deputy Administrator of the Shelby County Office of Innovation.
We wanted to make a note to check the podcast notes at the end of every episode. We will link resources mentioned throughout the conversation, as well as helpful resources like previous conversations regarding the topic of reentry.
Let's bring in our guests.
Welcome, Ellen and Dominique. How are y'all this morning?
Feeling great. I'm wonderful.
Awesome. We are so excited to have you here with us. We wanted to get started by having each of you share a little bit about yourselves and your respective organizations. So, Ellen, we can get started with you.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, I am the executive director for the Humane Society of Memphis and Shelby County. I have been in that position for just about 5.5 years, just a little, maybe a little under. And it's just been really a delight to have this position and to work in our community. I am not a native of Memphis, so this has really helped me get to know our city and our county much better during this time.
Awesome. So you're a chosen Memphian.
I am
then.
A chosen Memphian. Absolutely.
Love it. Yeah. What about you, Dominique?
Well, I am a born and raised Memphian.
Love it. Me too. So is Rebecca.
So I grew up here, went to Memphis undergrad here, went to Memphis Law School here. Then I went to the mayor's office, Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris's office. I've been there 4 years, I want to say, okay. If my math is right. Okay. So yeah, been there about 4 years. Started as a mayoral fellow, then went to work on COVID projects, and then I was a special assistant to the mayor. Then I was appointed to be deputy administrator of the Shelby County Office of Reentry, and I recently came back to the mayor's floor as deputy administrator, but more specifically, a youth and family manager in the Shelby County Office of Innovation.
Wow.
Just a few things.
Yeah. A lot of moving parts. It's all been great, though. It's been really fun.
Excited to learn more about your areas of expertise and the impacts that you're having on the community. But I want to step back just a second. And Ellen, can you share the mission of the Humane Society and what its role is in our community?
Absolutely. The mission of the Humane Society is to save animal lives, particularly those that have been injured, abused, or neglected, to prevent cruelty, which we do through educational programs and our work in the community, and to make people and animals' lives better through adoption and animal companionship.
So as you just mentioned, your role at the Humane Society covers everything from everything. Policy and microchipping to pet adoptions. What has bubbled up to the forefront of impactful change in the last 5 years?
Oh, we've done so much. We've really tried to focus our efforts on those that need it most in our community and providing those kind of community services so that Memphis can be a better place for all people and animals. We have really created some new programming around community support. We have a low-cost vet clinic that we opened during the pandemic with much support from the from Shelby County, from the mayor's office and the Shelby County commissioners. And this low-cost vet clinic is there for anyone that receives government assistance, so Social Security or any other type. And we can provide, you know, deeply discounted vaccines, spay and neuter services, and some other services as well. So, and, you know, a good wellness check with your pet with one of our veterinarians. We now have two veterinarians on staff to be able to help with both all of the animals that we have in our shelter and those in the community. So we're delighted with that. We've also opened a free pet food pantry for people in the community that need help feeding their pets. So we're able to do that. We also have deeply low-cost dog training available to anybody in the community as well as our adopters, which really helps try to enhance that human and animal bond once you get your dog home. You know, you need to be able to know how to work with them so everybody can be happy and safe and comfortable in their home. And so we offer those services as well. And that's in addition to our longstanding summer camp for children. We have an animal explorers camp where they come in and they get to meet our dogs. They learn like what it takes to be a responsible pet owner, what animals need, how to approach them, look for body signals on animals, and all of that kind of fun things. And they also get to pet puppies and play with kittens and all of those kind of things. And this year, we've just started a new program where we're having a vet tech workshop, and that's for teenagers, really, to see if they are interested in going into that kind of job or career when they finish school or high school.
Wow. I was going to ask if there's an age limit to the summer camp, because that sounds really fun.
I'm sure we could fit you in.
Do you need some volunteers and on just top come
of
hang out?
All, yeah. And on top of all that, we also have adoptions, of course. That's what most people know us well for. So we work really hard with everybody that comes to the shelter. We try to learn about their lifestyles and what they're really looking for in a pet. You know, we always get attracted to those cute little fluffy dogs, but somebody may want something different, a different temperament or style in their home. And so we really work with them to have that.
That's so helpful. Good to know. I love all these resources that are available. I definitely knew of the Humane Society more from a pet adoption standpoint. So that feels like it's just the tip of the iceberg in what y'all offer.
It is.
So exciting. So you mentioned that you work with the Shelby County Mayor's Office. So that perfect segue. Thank you, Ellen.
You're very welcome, Dominique.
So we've had the opportunity to speak with William Arnold, who is the Tennessee Office of Reentry Director, DeAndre Brown, Shelby County Office of Reentry, and Josh Spickler of Just City. You mentioned that as one of your roles there, you were Deputy Administrator.
Yes.
For the Office of Reentry.
Yes.
So could you share a little bit about your trajectory and how you went from law school to all the different roles in the mayor's office?
Yeah, sure. So came out of law school and I started working in a firm and I got a call basically saying, hey, would you want to do a mayor or fellow in the mayor's office? And I was like, is this a trick question? Like, who, like, do you turn that down? Like,
what, what is a mayoral fellow?
So a mayoral fellow is basically a staffed intern.
Okay.
So you go in basically with no real expectation, but to learn, to grasp the role and to work on as many projects as you can and really figure out, is government a place that you want to work? You know, you have a lot of support, a lot of people, you know, giving you different things, a lot of different advice, really, you know, engulfing you in the culture of government. And so I came in as a fellow, dramatic learning curve from anything I've ever encountered in my life, but it was great, right? It taught me a lot of different ways on how to work, how to just be very strategic in your work, how to have a deeper thought process in your work. Like how does your work affect more than just who you're looking at immediately, but how does it affect the community? So I began to do that, really began to catch on with the work, and I actually enjoyed it. And so I started to initiate projects. I started to want to take on more projects. And then out of that, I started as a fellow in 19. So the next year, 2020, we go into COVID.
Yep.
So I was working as a fellow. I guess I was doing a pretty good job because I was asked to stay on and help with some COVID projects. I was the COVID-19 coordinator in the mayor's office. So I just really assisted with a lot of the, you know, data gathering, answering questions, you know, helping community. And during that space, I was actually able to spearhead a program that helped our churches during that time. It was called Our Faithful Comeback. And churches were able to get equipment so they could live stream their services. You know, we know Memphis and Shelby County, it's a big faith-based community. And so, and that was a service that we noticed that was lacking. Many people weren't able to, you know, go to church, you know, just out of trying to be respectful for the community and, you know, slow the spread. And so many people were at home in a time where they needed faith the most. And so we were able to develop that program. And from there, once things got a little bit more stable, I transitioned to be a special assistant to the mayor, meaning that I worked on special projects, led initiatives, community-based projects, did that for maybe about 6 or 7 months. Then I was asked to, I was appointed to be the deputy administrator at the Shelby County Office of Reentry, which was really important for me because I grew up with most of my life believing that my father was incarcerated for murder. And so, and I remember saying, if I ever have the opportunity to do anything about reentry or work on that project, like, I'm gonna take it. And the mayor called me in the office one day, and I think he may have known a little bit about this, but I don't know how deeply he known. But he asked me one day, he was like, yeah, you want to take this appointment? I'm like, yes. No question, sign me up. And so went to the Office of Reentry. Worked with Director DeAndre Brown, great director, great leader, for maybe 2 years, I think. So did that for about 2 years. It was a phenomenal experience. One of the best roles I think I've had to date. And then maybe about a month ago, I got a call back to come back to the Shelby County Mayor's Office of Innovation to lead youth reentry projects, which is going to be really, really cool. So I'm the Youth and Family Interventions Manager, long title. So, but to work on youth projects.
That's a lot of great work going on.
Yeah.
For anyone not familiar, can you give us an overview of what the Office of Reentry does for the community, what role it plays, and what it's helping our neighbors do?
Absolutely. So the Office of Reentry serves as a local resource for any of our men and women who have been involved with the justice system. So a lot of people think people just coming home from prison, but it's a little bit more broad than that. So it's any involvement with the justice system at all. So someone could have, you know, you could have went down to 201 for a criminal allegation and it could have been dismissed, right? But that thing is still shown on your record. So you're still having issues as a result of it. The Shelby County Office of Reentry is there to help you. You could have went down to 201 and just had a traumatic experience. And now you're, I don't really know how to deal with this alone. So you want to come to the Shelby County Office of Reentry and get counseling services. That's here for you. So any involvement with the justice system at all, the Shelby County Office of Reentry is there to help. So they help with driver's license reinstatement, child support, SNAP benefits, counseling services. They have a robust focus program where it's Monday through Friday. It's 6 weeks long. Participants earn $17 an hour. And during that program, they're learning job readiness skills. It's really interpersonal skills heavy because we know that that's one of the hardest skills to learn. Really, how to deal with people. How do we deal with conflict? How do we deal with someone telling us no? How do we deal with someone getting on to us in a way that we deem is disrespectful? What is my response to that? And those are really a lot of the things that are dealt with during the focus class, because we know that a lot of people who go through our criminal justice system in any type of way have some level of trauma. And so a lot of times when they now go into work environments, they give trauma responses based on different, you know, environmental factors. And so if someone says, hey, put your phone down, it's time to get back to work, I might have a trauma response and think now you're being disrespectful. And if you're being disrespectful, I now have to respond in a way to protect myself in this environment. And so it's working through those types of layers and just getting people to understand, what does being a professional look like? How do you respond in a positive manner without, you know, blowing your lid and losing your job? You know, so and then they also learn a lot of hard skills. So resume writing, interview tips, you know, how to tie, you know, all of those small things. And so, but that's the focus program that goes on Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Shelby County Office of Reentry. And it's hosted 6 weeks at a time. And they usually run about maybe 2 or 3 cohorts a year.
That's really impactful and innovative. And I don't know that
our community as a whole is aware of both the needs and the services that are available to address them. So thank you for giving us some insight into that. You're also doing some innovative work together with the Humane Society.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about why we brought the two of your organizations together today?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. So can you share a little bit more, Ellen, about the positive training program?
Positive. You caught it.
Absolutely, I can. And Dominique actually came up with that name, so she gets all the credit for that.
I love it.
When people catch it. They're like, positive.
I was trying to enunciate for our listeners. So adorable.
It's a wonderful program. Dominique came to me along with Jerry Green and told us about this program that they learned about and that they wanted to start and they wanted to partner with us. The Humane Society is a non-governmental organization. We operate on donations, and we don't receive any kind of regular funding from any government organizations. But we love to work with Shelby County. They're very supportive of us. And so we were delighted when she had this idea. And it makes so much sense because we're right next door to them. And we love to get our animals out. And because we're a no-kill shelter, our animals can stay as long as they need to find a home. And unfortunately, sometimes that means years for these dogs in particular. And so we thought anything that we can do to give our dogs more of a chance to be adopted, to learn, you know, behavior and learn how to live with people, the better that they can possibly be. And we also thought that this was a great program just in our overall philosophy of trying to make Memphis a better place for everyone, because it also really affects the women that are in the program because they're really having to push themselves and learn a lot about not just how to work with dogs, but about themselves and emotions and how to manage those things. And so we thought that this was just brilliant. And so we jumped on board immediately. And while I'll let, of course, Dominique talk about all of the aspects of it from her end, you know, we have three dogs currently in the program. Their names are Bruno, Crab Ragoon, and Alfalfa.
So precious.
I know. That's the best job in the whole building is getting to name all the animals that come in. One of them has already been adopted, but his new family is waiting for him to finish the program. So we're excited about that.
So Dominique, this is a brainchild from you, this positive training program. How did you hear about it from somewhere else? Was it working well? Or did you just think, hey, there are neighbors. This sounds great.
Right. So it was one of those things that really just happened. So we were in Massachusetts, we, meaning Jerry and I, and Director Alexander. It was a trip spearheaded by him. And he took us to Massachusetts to visit a few counties that do prison well. They have great programming. They're innovative. They really help with rehabilitation, the things that they do for the inmates, the things that they do for their officers. He was going to show us that so that we can bring some of those things back to Shelby County. And so while we were there, one of the officers had a dog. And Jerry and I literally looked at each other and said, wouldn't it be cool if we had dogs inside the prison? And we paused and I was like, we're going to do it. We're going to have a dog training program inside the Division of Corrections. And I looked at Director Alexander. I said, can we do that? He's like, sure. And from there, everything took motion. And so it really started as a wild idea. So then we began to do research to make sure, you know, this was backed, to make sure that it had, you know, some basis to it and we weren't just throwing out ideas. And once we did the research, we found that dog training programs like this exist around the country and they have a lot of positive effects. So they affect the inmates that are involved because it really helps them with interpersonal skills. It helps them with emotional intelligence. It really helps them learn themselves. It helps them learn responsibility and structure and accountability. And also for the dogs, like Ellen hinted at. So they studies show that dogs that are trained are more likely to be adopted, you know, hence why they have a dog training program at the Humane Society. And so this is just another added layer to that of saying, saying, hey, we can combine this and say we want to teach our inmates, give them a program that they love, but they can also learn from it and grow and become better in themselves while also giving our animals a deeper chance to be adopted. And so it worked out perfectly. And so it has had such a resounding impact on the division. So guards, like the correctional officers, they love the program. They're like, we want to go see the dogs. They're talking about it. It's a joy and it's a highlight to them. You have other inmates now are saying things like they're going to decrease their disciplinary actions so that they can get in the program. And so it's affecting behavior across the division in some parts, you know, for people that want to be involved in the program. And the women in the program, they love it. They don't want to leave. They're like, how can we stay another 6 weeks? We want to do it over again. And so it's been phenomenal.
That's great.
Love it. So fun. So you mentioned that it's a 6 week program. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit more about what's entailed in it?
Absolutely. So 6 weeks of real training. The first week is more introductory. So if we really had to be technical, it's 7 weeks. So the first week of it is really introductory. They're learning what commands are. They're learning how to engage with animals. They're learning, you know, kind of do's and don'ts when you're bringing an animal into your new space. It's led by the owner of Allegiance K9. His name is Jacques Bonnet. So he's the lead instructor over the program. And so he kind of talks to the women about, you know, how to engage with a new animal in a new environment. And so that all of that is going on week one. Then they go to the Humane Society. I mean, we brought the dogs to the Division of Corrections. They meet them, but then they go back to the Humane Society. Then we bring them back so they can meet them again. Then they go back to the Humane Society. So all of that is happening week one, just as more introductory. So week two, that's when they really get into the meat of the training program. So they start with basic things like, you know, sit and come. And so they're doing them, but they're not naming them. So they're just luring the dogs with treats, with actions, and then praising the puppies when they do it right. And so just really building the foundation of this is what we want you to do, and this is how you get a reward. So everything is positive reinforcement,
right,
with the program.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No,
there,
you're fine.
But that we were delighted because they were taking the positive reinforcement approach, which is what the Humane Society does and recommends, mm-hmm, to everyone. And we have a full-time dog trainer on staff too, and he's actually developed one of these programs in Arkansas before. So he was delighted when we brought this to him because he knows the power of it. Mm-hmm. And he and Jacques were able to really talk about the positive reinforcement tools and what the curriculum would be. And I think he was just delighted from the start. So
absolutely,
it's wonderful. It's a good partnership there.
It works well with both philosophies, you know, what the Humane Society is trying to do for the community, what they do daily with their animals, and then what the Division of Corrections is trying to do. Their Division of Corrections has really, in the recent years, taken a very innovative approach to corrections. So they're really big on programming and what can we do to teach skills, teach hard skills, teach soft skills. And so this falls right in alignment with both of those goals.
Fantastic. Has anything positively surprised you from folks that have gone through the program or for the pets that are going through it?
Well, I don't know. I guess I hoped that it was going to be as successful as it is. So I've been maybe pleasantly surprised that it is as successful as it is. And Dominique has some stories or, you know, anecdotes about how the women are benefiting from the program.
Yeah.
And I'm just delighted that, you know, Bruno is already adopted.
I was going to ask which name, which dog.
Bruno.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
So that means Crab Rangoon, yeah,
and Alfalfa.
Alfalfa are still available.
They are. And they're wonderful dogs. They're wonderful dogs. And it's, I think the amount of attention and support that we've had from the community for this program, mm-hmm, has perhaps delighted me and surprised me the most.
What about you, Dominique?
I think for me, it was the response from the officers that surprised me the most. They are ecstatic. I had one officer who has been working at corrections for 23 years, which you can imagine, that's a long time. And, you know, after doing it every day, it can be a little heavy. Mm-hmm. And she came and she said, this has been the bright spot for her and really has given the joy of her job back for her and what she does. She was like, because she loves programming, she was like, she loves to see the inmates, you know, learning and growing and thriving, and just to see their response to this program. She comes to work on her off days to make sure that this program is going off without a hitch.
That's wonderful.
And so, yeah, so for me, that was the, I think, the most shocking response. But even some of the women, like Ellen was alluding to, one of the women had a moment in the program and really like kind of broke down in tears and was saying how much she was learning about herself, because her, you know, her dog was being a little stubborn. And like anybody, when someone is being stubborn and you want them to do something, you get frustrated. So now what do you do with those frustrating emotions? And so now she's at a point where she's at a real crossroads and reality check with herself of, I can't get mad. I can't throw a temper tantrum. Like, I can't do, you know, shut down and say, well, I just don't want to work. She had to push through it. And for her, it was a learning point that she embraced of saying, wow, I'm learning so much about myself. I'm learning how impatient I can be. I'm learning how easily I get frustrated, but I see myself growing because I'm still working through it. And she was crying. She really appreciated that and was like, wow, I did not know this. And so now when she goes home, because she's not going to be in custody forever, she now has this learned skill, or this now, you know, self-awareness of who she is and how to deal with complicated situations that might invoke negative emotions. And so it's been great.
That's fantastic. You mentioned a lot of other programs and innovative opportunities that are being offered. How does the positive training program supplement some of the programs that are already in existence?
Yeah, the Division of Corrections is doing a great job. I know a few of them offer it through the Shelby County Office of Reentry. They have a barbering school at the division. So the division was recently classified as a barbering school, so that the men who are in custody, when they go through the program, I believe it's 15 months long, it's like 1500 credit hours, they can actually get a barbering license. So they can leave custody being a licensed master barber. And we already have one gentleman who has his licensed master barber certification. So he passed all of his state boards, he has all of his hours. So when he leaves custody in the next few months, he can just go out and start barbering. He can go out and start a career. And he's excited about that. He's happy knowing when he leaves, he has a plan. And so that's one. We also have a natural hair program. So similar track with mm-hmm. women. So they're able to get a natural hair certification. Once they leave custody, they can go into the natural hair field and do anything related to that. We have they have janitorial program where they get a OSHA 10 certification. And so they learn how to, you know, clean floors, strip floors, wax floors. I'm sure there are a few other terms that I don't really know, but they learn those skills. They have a culinary program, I believe, if it's still going on, but culinary programming. There's a carpentry program. They have a number. I think I might be missing a few, but there are so many things that they're doing. Recently, they had a revival that they had on, where they had, you know, different pastors, different rabbis. They had the Muslim community represented, but they just had it to where people, the inmates, are able to kind of go to these different services and get what they need, you know, so they can feel uplifted. You know, they were able to do small activities. And so those are the type of innovations that they're doing to bring back the humanity and also really focus on rehabilitation while you're in custody. So when these men and women do come home, they can come home and be productive citizens and not be institutionalized and can't function in normal society.
That's great. Maybe we can add pet grooming to the
I think so.
To the list of,
you know, a few of the women asked. They was like, "Can we bathe them?" And so I think that's definitely next.
That would be great.
Yeah, it would. It would be.
Oh, I love this. I love the connections.
So next time we come and we talk about the pet grooming program, like, how did it start? We were on a podcast.
Amazing. I love it. So you mentioned that you have three dogs in the program right now. Are there plans to kind of scale it?
Yes, we would love to be able to expand it to as many as we possibly can have mm-hmm. in the program. I think it's just best for all. And this first go around has gone pretty smooth. I think that we're ready to try to have some more dogs in there. Exciting. And we've got unfortunately an endless number or endless supply of dogs in our area that need to come into the shelter. And this is a way for us to really kind of expand our services and care for animals if we're able to have some at the Division of Corrections with the women in the program and also at the shelter.
How are the dogs doing? How do they like it?
I think they love it. Yeah. I think that they're getting so much attention and so much activity, which is really keeping their mind stimulated and they're doing things so that, you know, at our shelter, they get at least 3 walks a day. They get playtime. They get those things. But that's not the same as that one-on-one time that the women in this program are able to give them.
Yeah, and to that point, they're on a schedule from like 6 o'clock a.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. when the dogs go down for bedtime. Everybody shuts down. And so everything is mapped out from the time they go out and play to kennel time to feeding time to everything. And so, and it's very rigid. And so, and it's been helpful because it's been helping the women with the accountability. And it's also really helped the dogs learn a routine and a schedule. And so now when they go home and you think they might go home to a working family, they're already used to, all right, get up, go, let's go outside and walk. All right, now I'm going back in my kennel. Mommy and daddy's at work. I come home, we're going to play. So it really helps.
And dogs like a schedule or a routine. Yeah.
Much like a child.
Yes.
Thrive in a routine.
So how can individuals and organizations support all of the work that you're doing as volunteers, as thought partners, as donors, as advocates?
Well, we love collaboration, as we can see through this program, and also with our volunteers and our donors and other rescue groups. I think that we have good collaborative partners, and we welcome people to come in and talk to us and to sign up to be a volunteer. It's really something that I think makes the whole community better, and we have the most impact through our free pet food pantry, because we also supply rescue groups across Memphis with food to be able to give out to the people and animals that they serve. And we are also able to help them and provide spay and neuter services and other wellness vaccines, those kinds of things, to rescues in our area also. I would recommend that if somebody found our discussion today interesting, that they give us a call, that they can sign up to be a volunteer. They can either be a dog walker or work in the cat house or do other things, you know, some more administrative or event-based things. And I would encourage people to donate, because that's how the Humane Society is able to offer these services. We've been around since 1933 in Memphis. So that's a really nice long time. And I think that says a lot about the work that we're able to do in our community. But like I said before, you know, we don't receive regular government funding, so we have to raise the money that we need each year. And that seems to grow every year, too. But there's lots of ways to get involved with us. We have different kind of events and programs throughout the year. And I would recommend that everybody go to our website, which is memphishumane.org, and, you know, check out what we're doing and look at the different ways that they can get involved.
And then are there ways that we can advocate, support, and even just learn more about the work that's going on in the Office of Reentry and Innovation?
I think we should be intentional about changing the narrative about our men and women who are coming home from prison. I think there's a narrative that says most of them come home and they are predisposed to commit crime again, which is not true. Most of our men and women come home looking for change, looking for opportunities, looking for things differently that they can do. But when we place a stigma on them and we deny them opportunities because of those stigmas, then it becomes hard. And then now, and we have the Office of Reentry as a resource, we're going to help them every step of the way. But there's only so much one office can do. And I think when the community gathers around and just supports our men and women who are coming home and saying, hey, I'll give you an opportunity to work here. So we're talking job partners. We're talking real employers saying, I want to be available and I want to be a resource and offer opportunities for men and women coming home from prison. That's more than a temporary job that's going to last 90 days and then you're done. But real opportunities. I think that's a start. Just us changing the narrative and really saying, all right, they paid their debt to the community. They paid their debt to society. Now they're coming home and they're ready to do something different. And then for people who are in a position to offer employment, partnering with the Shelby County Office of Reentry to be an employment partner, because that's a really important piece. People need work. They need jobs.
Thank you so much for that. I feel like that echoes some of the previous conversations that we've had and how recidivism can be lessened just by employers being able to kind of ban the box, if you will, and, you know, have opportunities. DeAndre Brown and I think Josh Spickler, too, were like, you know, it's welcoming a neighbor home. Mm-hmm. And this will be the best neighbor you've ever had if you just give them the opportunity to be the best neighbor you've ever had. They will look out for you. They will work hard for you. They will be the best neighbor.
That's right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Most of the men and women we see come through the Office of Reentry really want something different. They're there because they're looking for something more. They're looking for change. They're looking for help. And in most cases, when we send them out to employers, they stick and stay and they last. And they're some of the best workers you've ever had because they don't want to mess up. They don't want to lose this opportunity. And so they're going to give it everything that they have to make it a lasting opportunity. And that's what we want.
Well, it's really about giving people second chances and animals second chances. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really part of our wording when we talk about what we do at the Humane Society. Is that, you know, the animals that come to us have often been abused and neglected, mm-hmm. and don't trust people, are fearful, and they have those kind of behaviors with them. And so through the work that we're able to do through our kennel techs and our dog trainer and the low-cost dog training classes that we have for the public, those animals are able to really kind of learn how to trust people again. It's through that positive reinforcement
That's really good.
That we do. And they're able to go into homes and be good neighbors, you know,
yeah.
I mean, and care for their families and just be happy and in the community. So I'm delighted that this program is working well for all.
It works both ways.
Absolutely.
I love it.
I'm curious, what's on the horizon for your organizations and your work together that you're most excited about?
Well, I'm most excited about expanding this program. It's just really been delightful and seeing how, you know, we can get more involved if that's possible. We would love to be able to partner more or more in depth with this program and really see it expand and grow.
Get the grooming going.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, get the grooming, more dogs and training programs, fostering, I don't know. The places we can go.
Dominique and we've had these moments where we've been like, what about this?
Yeah, exactly. That's where it all starts.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Dominique, I mean, it started from you being like, let's do this. Can we do this? Let's do this. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, taking it back home.
Right.
So who's to say that? Yeah. I mean,
sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit. We're excited.
Dominique, can you share a little bit more about what your current role entails?
Sure. So, right now, I'm in the Shelby County Office of Reentry under the leadership of Director Danielle Inez. And so in this role, basically, we innovate. We innovate for the county. So we come up with programs similar to this one, similar to the dog program, right? And find things that can be a benefit that serves the community, that serves our residents, and that makes the county better as a whole. And we implement them. And so we do a lot of it, do a lot of our initiatives that are data backed. So we look at what's working, what's not, what should we be doing? And we implement programs based on that. And so my current focus is youth. So really focusing on some youth reentry initiatives, really working on building that up, anything dealing with youth. So youth and family engagement. So we have our 9-on-1 student passport program, which was developed during COVID, right? And so it was a lot of our children were out of school. So it was a program in partnership with the YMCA, allowing students to go to museums and other attractions throughout the county for free. Through this partnership, they just had to show their student passport. And so it's those types of initiatives that we do out of the Shelby County Office of Reentry to just make the county better as a whole and more innovative as a whole.
We're lucky to have innovators focused on the future of our community, not just the now. You're meeting the needs of now, but knowing that you're, you know, planting seeds that we're going to see grow for years and years to come is really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Very fun and exciting. I'm just excited about the partnership with the Humane Society. I think it's perfect. Ellen couldn't have said it best, is that it's just second chances for everybody. And I think that's the heart of our mayor. That's the heart of our county, of just providing those real substantive second chances that can make lasting impact. And so I'm excited about that and where we can go and what can happen from here.
Thank you for joining us. And thank you for the work you're doing together and for the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Independent Bank is celebrating 25 years of sharing your stories, building your dreams, and serving you heroically. Find out how iBank can help you achieve your financial dreams at i-bankonline.com. Member FDIC.